talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider.
Direct coming statewide on civic media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And we're going to start off. We're going to start off right here in Wisconsin. Just now, 10 of the 11 Democratic state senators have called on the majority leader of the Senate, the Republican, the gerrymandered Republican LeMahieu, to get rid of this Robert Spindell, who's an election commissioner. There are six people on the Wisconsin Election Commission. Three of them are Democrats, three of them are Republicans. The majority leader of the Senate gets an appointment, and he appointed Spindell. Spindell was a fake elector. He falsely represented himself as a legitimately elected elector. And then just the other day, it surfaced that he had been sending emails boasting about suppressing the vote in Milwaukee, especially Milwaukee, of minority voters, African-American Latino voters. And he boasted that there were more than 30,000, I think it was 35,000 fewer voters, minority voters this time than last time. He exulted in that. And remember something, that Mandela Barnes's margin of loss was less than 30,000 votes. And Spindell set out the ways that he had achieved that. One of them is highly negative advertising about Democratic candidates on African-American radio and other radio stations in Milwaukee. Secondly, the lawsuit to the Republican judges on the Supreme Court, who ruled that you can't have drop boxes, even though Utah, which is 70% Republican, along with Wyoming, the most Republican state in the country, has drop boxes. The point is they don't want drop boxes in states with an African-American and Latino population. That's what they don't want. Nothing to do with drop boxes. In Utah, they have them. So he boasted about that, and he boasted about other voter suppression tactics. Now, when he was confronted with that, he tried to defend it as something like a normal thing. But he's on the Wisconsin Election Commission. The Wisconsin Election Commission, even though they're appointed three Democrats and three Republicans, are required by law to be looking out for the interests of all voters, to maximize voting. And here he is boasting in writing to other Republican leaders about what he'd done. Now, he is also the chairman of the 4th Congressional District Republican Party. 4th Congressional District is Milwaukee. When I was the state chairman of the Democratic Party back in the 80s, we had 9 congressional districts. Now we have 8. In the old days, Milwaukee was the 5th congressional district. Now it's the 4th. The 5th congressional district now is Waukesha and the suburbs around Milwaukee. So why is this clown still in the Wisconsin Election Commission? Because LeMahieu and the Republican leadership like what he did. Now, let me tell you something else. He is not alone in doing this. If you look around the country, I'm going to look at 2 states, Florida and Texas. And what has happened is a series of moves designed to intimidate minority populations, make them think that they might be criminally liable for even voting, and scaring them. So here are some examples. In Florida, DeSantis sent the police to some voter residences where, for instance, they might have mistakenly, they were convicted felons, their felony conviction was over. In other words, they served their time. The citizens of Florida overwhelmingly passed a referendum saying that felons should be able to vote once they'd served their sentences. The Republican Florida Supreme Court interpreted that without any evidence to mean that the felons, in addition to serving their sentences, had to pay their fines. Well, it's very common in felony prosecutions. You say, all right, you have to, you're going to get 10 years in jail, prison, and then you have to pay $27,500 for court costs and all this stuff. Well, none of these people, when they get out of prison, most of them have a hard time finding a job. I don't think any of them find a high-paying job, and they can't pay this stuff off, and that was not part of the referendum. The Republicans down there just read it into the referendum. So some guy whose time has expired, in a couple of cases, they had a probationary period afterwards, and let's say April comes along, there's an election, and your probationary period ends in June. Some of them were told by authorities they could vote. But here's what DeSantis did. He didn't just send the police. He sent them in riot gear with combat weapons, camouflage. And they pull up to some guy's poor house, and they beat on the door, and he comes, and he's looking at machine guns and a lot of scary people, and they shout at him, scare the living hell out of him. And DeSantis prosecuted some of these people. And the courts in these cases so far have rejected DeSantis' prosecution. But what he did was he scared minority communities. People hear that somebody in riot gear with some machine gun shows up and is going to drag somebody off the prison, take him off in cuffs. A lot of people are intimidated from voting. So DeSantis has boasted that somehow he won a, quote, huge victory, end quote. He beat Chris, the guy who's running against the Democrat, something like 59-41, something like that. And he thinks that's on his merits. Well, that's not on his merits. Minority voting went way down because of intimidation. Here in this state, it's been get rid of drop boxes. Why don't we put false things on radio stations? And most radio stations want revenue, obviously, and slime the other person. You slime the other person. In Texas, they passed a law that said if you obstruct the line of sight between an observer and a voter, it's a crime. So some of these elderly ladies are sitting at the table. They get up to carry a paper somewhere, and they momentarily obstruct the line of sight between one of the Republican thugs who is permitted to stand there and the voter. He says so, and they can arrest him. They're not going to do that in most areas, but in the minority community, they're afraid that there will be a criminal consequence for helping at the polls, for being at the polls, and it does drive down minority voting. Here in Texas, several people were charged, one because he voted something like 30 days before the expiration of his probationary period because he was told he could, and the other one, a woman who voted in the wrong precinct. She didn't vote twice, and the people led her to believe she could vote at that precinct. When you criminalize voting, when you send people in camouflage with submachine guns, you scare communities who are used to being oppressed. And here you have Spindell and the Republicans in Wisconsin flooding black radio with frankly, defamatory ads. But people need the revenue. And then saying no drop boxes. There are prosecutions for people who somehow make a mistake in absentee voting. This is going on. This is going on right now, and it's got to stop. It's got to stop. We're going to the lines. Take you in order. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hi, good afternoon, Matt. It's very disturbing. This Swindell character may have tilted the election for Ron Johnson, which is, you know, he's the guy carrying around fake electors, election denier, a mega. That's really sad. And as far as the Congress is going right now, it looks like the megas are running Congress. That's also very, very scary. And all this brings me back to a simple topic, the spring election for the Supreme Court Justice of the state of Wisconsin. People have to understand there's only one choice there. If you want fair maps to get this state back, because the Republicans are doing zero. They aren't doing the people's work. And not only that, the country back, you'll have different congressional districts. So I'm right back to Judge Janet. All elections are important, but this one is so, so important, and you can't mess it up. It's not supposed to be a partisan, but it is. The Republicans made it that way 20 years ago. So with that, I keep coming back to that same thing, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
Excellent point. I'm going to comment in a second. Gary of Madison, my friend, we have a couple of minutes before the break. What's in your mind, eh, Gary?
Hi. Quick. You know, two of the referendums, you between now and April, you address it. But, you know, the one with the bail, well, the bail is one more where the judge has more discrepancy how to deal with it. But I'm not so sure about that. Means more people will be in jail. And the other one is the work before they want to do Medicaid. You got to work if you're. They're going after the people in Medicaid. I mean, hell, that's not going to work. And there's enough of that. They want to. You got to work, or you don't get the money. That I wouldn't go for that one either. But the one with the bail, I think you know your attorney. You know how to deal with that. But anything of Republicans, it benefits no one. I'm not in favor of any of it. So let you go, Matt. Thank you.
Excellent comments, Gary. We're going to a break, and I'm going to respond to you and Wisco Paul right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. We have a lot more right after the break.
Gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go on to another topic, but first I'm going to respond to Wisco Paul and to Gary Madison. Wisco Paul is right on the money. The ball game is this upcoming election. This ball game is the Supreme Court election, primary February 21st. It's coming up in, what, less than 5 weeks. Two candidates, Republicans, say they will not get, have not said they get rid of gerrymandering. They will not get rid of gerrymandering. One of them, Dan Kelly, supported by Rebecca Bradley, who's on the Supreme Court, one of the worst Trumper types. She voted against certifying Joe Biden's election. And She voted not only not to certify Joe Biden's election, but she voted for the lame duck stuff, voted to get rid of drop boxes, and she will vote against any attempt to get rid of gerrymandering. She supports this Dan Kelly's bad news, very bad news. The other one is this Jennifer Doro from Waukesha, and she is supported by Pat Rogensack, the outgoing Chief Justice, who also was giving up her seat. Also, she's the one who voted against certifying Joe Biden and can't run again, really. Jennifer Doro. You don't want Jennifer Doro. Now, that leaves two others. Wisco Paul said, Judge Janet. Judge Janet is the one you should support. Judge Janet Protasiewicz, Protasiewicz. She has flat out said, bring another gerrymander suit in front of us, and she will get rid of gerrymandering. And it'll be 4-3, and we'll have the votes to do it. We'll have the votes to do it. She was a prosecutor in Milwaukee for more than 20 years. The toughest cases, the most violent, worst cases. She's a tough prosecutor, fair and firm, very popular. And she is a judge, an experienced judge over several terms, one of the best in the state. The only other one is this fellow named the Honorable Reverend Mitchell from Madison. He's the pastor of a church. He's a judge. He's a Dane County judge. When he was asked about gerrymandering, he said, well, he didn't like the community of interest standard and that it had a bad effect on minorities in some of the cities, which is true. But getting rid of gerrymandering means getting rid of all gerrymandering around the state, not just in a few cities. And maybe that's what he intends to do. I don't know. But he's also the guy who has a tremendous amount of baggage. And we've gone over that on this show before. Not going to go through it all again. But there are very, very, frankly, harsh allegations from his former wife about abuse. He denies it, says some of it was consensual, denies the emotional abuse, denies a lot of things. I do not want to spend the next 5 weeks, and then after that, another 6 weeks to the general election, getting into his head, getting into his psychology. There is gerrymandering on the ballot. Janet Protasiewicz will get rid of gerrymandering. Jennifer Doro and Dan Kelly like gerrymandering, and they also would vote not to certify a Democrat who ran for president in 2024. These people get elected for 10 years. It's a 10-year term. And with the Honorable Reverend Mitchell, I do not want to spend a lot of time talking about his psychology over the next 5 weeks to the primary. And then after that, what, 6 or 7 to the general? I don't want it. So Wisco Paul is right. Judge Janet Protasiewicz, she's terrific, by the way. The second thing is Gary Madison. Gary Madison points out that what happened was the Republicans put these referenda on the ballot to goose Republican turnout for the Supreme Court election in April. Here's a sad fact. They're a gerrymandered legislature. They're illegitimate. And if we had fair maps, the Democrats would control it. They don't. We have 1/3 of the Senate seats, and we almost have down to 1/3 of the Assembly. We're 2 to the good on that one, or they'd have a veto-proof majority. And these clowns passed 2 referenda. One referendum says people who want public benefits have to work. Well, I like people who have to work. There's no question about that. But there already is that requirement. If you have unemployment comp benefits, you have to sign up for work. You have to look for a job. And all they're doing is reiterating the statute to make it look like they came up with something. But how about Medicaid? I do not think that a guy comes in sick or a woman with 2 small kids, and she says, I don't have child care, I can't really work, but I have the start of breast cancer. And they go, well, I'm sorry, we got to have a debate on whether you'll work. Knock it off, guys. This is Medicaid. This is Medicaid. Some of this will violate federal statutes. These clowns put it on. What happened was Tony Evers wanted to put one on that said, let's revoke the 1849 statute about abortion. That thing is 174 years ago, and women couldn't vote. Times have changed. Let's have a new one. Pass a new statute. If they want to pass something like that, fine, let's debate it. But they won't do that. You know, the oldest person in the world just died yesterday, 118 years old in France. 118, this statute's 174. They don't care. They put these crummy referenda. Do not fall for these referenda. Do not fall for any referendum that was put on by the Republicans. I'm going to explain that a little more. The lines are alive. I see you on the lines. We're going to a break. I'm being forced to a break. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene of Eau Claire?
I got a lot on my mind, I got to tell you. And thank you for the great show as usual, Matt. I'm never disappointed, I have to tell you. This is you, my personal opinion and my phrasing of this issue that we're dealing with. And it is terrorism. You can utilize psychological techniques, you can utilize physical techniques, but you strong-arm people. And, you know, I want to thank the Democrats, and I'm bringing in another issue here, Matt, along with what's going on in our state, because we all need to stand united against these terroristic-type tactics that are causing big problems in our state and in our country. And I want to thank Democrats and President Biden for refusing to negotiate with the U.S. congressional terrorists who continue their assaults on Americans, the rule of law, and personal security. You know, they hold average Americans hostage while continuing to take from the poor and give to wealthy Americans who put their monies back in their coffers. Now, these U.S. congressional terrorists and our state ones, and this is my opinion in the way that I am viewing this as attack on me and my family and my fellow Americans. These U.S. congressional terrorists have continued their assaults on U.S. citizens and the rule of law and putting our democracy and our lives at risk. And these attacks include, but are not limited to, women's health care, education, voting rights, workers' rights, LGBTQ rights, environmental laws, truth and justice, and safe communities. When are we going to put this to an end? The only way we can end it in the state of Wisconsin is to get fair maps, because these people are going to continue to assault the people in this state and in our country without fair representation unless we fight back as best we can. And we need to get a judge. We need fair judges. We need fair judges in the U.S. Supreme Court, too. And we'll just have to keep yelling to the top of our lungs or talking very politely that people need to understand this is no joke. At age 68, I hit it yesterday. I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime.
Gene, thank you very much. You always put it succinctly, profoundly, and well. And thank you for calling. And before we grab the next caller, I just want to respond and confirm what you just said. Kevin McCarthy just said they're going to shut the government down. You know, the debt limit gets hit when? Tomorrow. Tomorrow. There are accounting tricks that Yellen can do, the Secretary of the Treasury, but this will shut it down. And here's what they're proposing, an emergency plan to breach the debt limit. What they're going to say is, all right, Biden can pay interest on the national debt, because if we defaulted on our bonds worldwide, our entire credit and economy would fall apart. But we're not going to be able to pay anything on Medicare, food safety inspection, border control, air traffic controllers, and a variety of other things. Now, let me tell you something. I do not want the government to stop inspecting meat, okay? I do not want the government to stop any kind of border control. I do not want the government to have to not pay air traffic controllers, how the heck do you think we're going to get around the country? This is vandalism. This is vandalism. Jean of Eau Claire described it as terrorism, and I agree with her 100%. This is vandalism. And there are some things that Joe Biden can do, invoking the 14th Amendment, and that the Democrats in the House can do with a discharge petition. And I'm going to get to that in a second. But first, I am going to go to the lines again. Tom of McFarland, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Tom of McFarland?
Hi, Matt. You know, I was just thinking, I haven't heard anybody talking about it, but with Brazil and Representative Santos, what would happen if Brazil said, you know, they've already said that the case is open and ongoing. What if they decided that they wanted him and they demanded that the United States extradite Santos to Brazil to face that justice? What would be the protocol for having a sitting member of Congress be having an extradition request from a country to face felony charges?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let me tell you the answer. The answer is that if we have an extradition treaty with Brazil, and I assume we do, we don't have them with a lot of countries, but we do with some. And if we do with Brazil, they would put in an extradition request. If Santos tried to invoke some kind of congressional immunity, the issue would be, did he commit the crime in the course of his congressional duties, which he couldn't have because he just got sworn in 3 weeks ago. So, you know, if he committed a murder in Brazil, or in this case, what he is alleged to have done, got hold of a checkbook on this old fellow that his mom was taking care of and wrote checks and helped himself to the guy's money, that's theft. That would not be covered by any kind of congressional immunity because he wasn't in Congress at the time he did it. You know, now, if you had this wouldn't happen, but if you had a country that said extradite this guy because he gave a speech on the House floor that we think is defamatory of our leader, he would not be extradited. That is something that under American law, which would trump, he's not liable for. But a crime committed, not when he was in Congress, if we have an extradition, yeah, we grab him, put him in cuffs and throw him on an airplane. Absolutely right, Tom. Excellent point. Excellent point. And this guy, you know, this guy, Santos, is disturbing me more and more. They're not really sure what his name is, quite frankly. But secondly, he apparently got money from a Russian oligarch. It's not just that he lied about what schools he went to. I don't think they know where he did anything. And the problem is he could be some kind of a sleeper in there. I don't want this guy in Congress. So, Tom, thanks a lot for calling. Really appreciate it. I want to get back to the debt ceiling. So what these guys are going to do is they're going to go, we are not going to raise the debt ceiling. And if they're not going to raise the debt ceiling, the Senate can't do it by itself. It has the votes to do it. So what happens? Well, what happens is that everything that Congress voted to spend, this is not future spending. It's a two-step. When the Congress votes to, say, spend $1 billion on the military, they vote for it. The Republicans insisted, we also have to have a separate vote later on to whether we're going to honor the bonds we issued to pay for it. Well, what's that all about? If you voted legally to spend it, you obviously are obligated to pay any debt you incur for spending it. But the Republicans said, no, we want the best of both worlds. We want to be able to vote for it, everything, all this stuff. And then we want to vote not to pay for it. And we figure the folks back home don't care. Is anybody listening to this? I mean, if you're a Republican, does this bother you that they're trying to sneak out of our debts? That should bother you, bothers me. Then what they're doing is they just voted to cut IRS expenditures to support forensic lawyers and accountants because there hadn't been a lot of audits ever since George W. Bush was in the president because the donors went to him and said, listen, you don't have to give us a tax cut every year. Just get rid of the IRS. And we have all these shelters with strange names that nobody knows anything about. And we aren't going to pay taxes anyway. And he said, fine. Tell me about what a great guy George W. Bush was. He was not. He was a bad president. OK, but just because Trump was worse doesn't exonerate him at all. So Biden put this thing back in. We're going to rehire those forensic auditors. And then immediately the Republicans go, oh, they're coming after you in the middle class. What are you kidding me? You think he's hiring these auditors to audit some guy who makes 75 grand a year and takes a deduction that, is questioned? No, he's not. This is going to pick up people with crooked tax shelters. And the economic analysis of it is that it would have yielded net about $100 billion in revenue to the government over 10 years, $10 billion a year. In other words, whatever it costs to hire these people was offset by the new revenue that would come in. And this is historically proven, and it's good data. And so Kevin McCarthy and these guys just go, all right, we're going to give up on $100 billion in revenue, and we are going to say we're not going to pay food safety inspectors, doctors for Medicare, anybody doing border control, air traffic controllers, and let's play chicken. And then if the country got shut down, people won't like Biden. These are vandals. The Republican leadership in the House are vandals. They are enemies of the United States. They are enemies of our culture. They are enemies of our greatness. They are enemies of our greatness. And the other thing, and this really kills me, this slays me. Guess what? Marjorie Taylor Greene has now been put on the Homeland Security and Oversight Committees, and Lauren Boebert is put on the Oversight Committee. What's the Oversight Committee? They're the ones that can investigate Joe Biden. They're the ones that can set up the impeachment of Joe Biden. Here's what Marjorie Taylor, she will be part of the committee, as will Boebert, to oversee national security as well. Are you kidding me? Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert are going to be on the committee that oversees national security. And you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene said in a statement she just issued, quote, Joe Biden, be prepared, end quote. Joe Biden, be prepared. She's talking to the president of the United States, who has orchestrated a magnificent coalition against the Ruskies for their invasion of Ukraine, put together a mini NATO in the Pacific to contain China, passed hard infrastructure and soft infrastructure with a bare 50+1 majority in the Senate, providing great leadership. And this clown goes, Joe Biden, be prepared for what? For impeachment. That's what she wants to do. She's the one that she hangs around. Nick Fuentes, that supremacist and anti-Semitic guy, really bad guy that Trump does too. And, Paul Gosar got a committee assignment. Why did Lauren Boebert get it? She came out against McCarthy hard. Why? Because McCarthy's afraid of these clowns. So he puts the worst of the worst on these major committees, to screw up the government. That's what's happening right now. And the debt ceiling, right now, we bump up against it tomorrow. There are things from an accounting point of view that Janet Yellen can do to keep things going for a while, but not forever. And when they did this to Bill Clinton, the Coast Guard didn't get paid. The FBI didn't get paid. And that was when, back then, when it came under Trump, that came more recently, Wilbur Ross, his Secretary of Commerce, said they can take out a loan. What? An FBI agent with a couple of kids and a wife who may not work outside the home can go what? Down to the local bank and borrow 20 grand to get them through couple of months? No, I don't think so. And they shouldn't have to do that. And, are they going to pay the Marine Corps? Are they going to pay the Army, the Air Force? I think at some point they got to pay somebody, but where are they going to get the money to pay it? There's two things that Joe Biden, or one thing Joe Biden can do and one thing the Dems can do. If I were Joe Biden, I'd invoke the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment is a constitutional amendment. It rules everything, and it says you shall not question the full faith and credit of the United States. Yes, it was put in after the Civil War because it makes clear we won't pay the debts of the Confederacy, but it said we will pay all debts of the United States, and Kevin McCarthy is not willing to do that. If I'm Joe Biden, I would simply say, 14th Amendment, and order the Federal Reserve to issue the money that they're supposed to issue. Period. End of story. And in the House, Dems should put in a discharge petition, it's called, demanding that it be voted on. And all we'd need is four or five Republicans. And a lot of them would like to get reelected in moderate states. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Get back to the lines right after the break.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road when along came a semi with a high end canvas covered load.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for calling us your mind today, Jack.
There's another extension of Section 4 of the 14th Amendment. It says something besides the debt of the United States shall not be disputed. It also says that pensions will be paid from this. Now, if Social Security, which we pay into to get back in our retirement, is not a pension, nothing is. And I'm going to say that if the Republicans mess around with Social Security, I would tend to invoke that section of the 14th Amendment as well and keep them out of it, basically.
So, yeah, Jack, that is an excellent point. Let me read the 14th Amendment, what you're talking about right now. In pertinent part, it says, quote, "The validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, including debts incurred for payment of pensions," and then they say, "and bounties," you know, "that shall not be questioned." If they make good on their threat to hit Social Security, and frankly, Jack, I would argue that Medicare is the same thing. Because Medicare, yeah, you are paying in a Medicare fee. You really are. And if you're paying in a Medicare fee and suddenly these guys go, "We're not going to recognize that, that's unconstitutional." And that's why I think Biden at some point, he can let Janet Yellen do these accounting things for a while, but at some point, I think Joe Biden has got to say the 14th Amendment, "I am going to pay the debts of the United States and I'm going to order the Federal Reserve to cooperate." Some people say, well, the Federal Reserve won't do it without congressional authorization. Then they get fired. Joe, fire them. Whoever, whatever clown, a MAGA clown sitting there in the Reserve, fire them because he doesn't control all the governors. And just do it, because the 14th Amendment, that is the supreme law. It's not what the Supreme Court says. It's not what Kevin McCarthy says. He's trying to buy off Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene. Quote, "The validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, including debts incurred for payment of pensions and bounty," and then it goes on, "shall not be questioned." Jack, excellent, excellent comment. Thank you. Dick of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Dick?
Well, this won't be good. I'm looking for a little levity today. The latest big lie from the Republican Party, this nonsense about gas ranges. What is this about? They're trying to say it's going to cost you $34,000 to convert if you do. I can't.
Yeah,
find,
you know,
anything,
Dick,
man,
I don't pay attention to that kind of stuff. And, you know, some people think it's funny.
And it's,
I think these people throw this baloney out, and I'm real tired of it. I'm real tired of it. Thanks for calling. I want to say something before I take the next caller about Ukraine. There is a slow motion, deliberate genocide going on over there. There are 45 million Ukrainians. There are 145 million Ruskies, and Ukrainian women are being raped and murdered. Kids are being raped and murdered, kidnapped, taken into Russia. They are simply trying to destroy every building in Ukraine, but no Russian women are being raped and murdered. Their kids aren't being hit. No apartment building in Russia is being hit. They hit churches and cathedrals in Ukraine, but we don't hit St. Basil's in Moscow or St. Isaac's in St. Petersburg. And I'm not advocating for these horrible things to be done to everybody else, but you can't have a one-way thing like that, call it a war, when it's really a genocide. What is the basis of the hatred of the Russians for Ukraine? because they're almost identical. They're both Slavic peoples, and many of the Ukrainians belong to the Russian Orthodox Church. They don't care. What it really is a tremendous self-hatred on the part of the Russians, who feel that they're genuinely inferior, and they can't stand to see people like them doing well in a free Western value society. They are a dead, valueless culture, the Russians are. They've been a slave culture for 1,000 years. They were serfs, then they were communist serfs. I'll tell you what, the goal of the West has got to be simply to destroy that country. And I mean, in terms of any future influence, we don't want nuclear war. I get it. But wear these people down. They have to be dismantled economically. We have $300 billion of their money in our banks. We should confiscate it and give it to Ukraine. We should designate them a terror state like North Korea and Iran and really strangle them economically. We should get planes, tanks, everything, long-range HIMARS to Zelensky. Yesterday, Joe Biden made it clear that now we may provide them the arms to retake Crimea, where the Ruskies have 70,000 troops and a lot of bases. I got to say this, their leaders have got to be killed. Vladimir Putin is an animal, not human. He's a Hitler type of animal. He's got to be killed. He said they want a long war. Let me tell you something. Putin and the oligarchs have stolen 80% of the net wealth of Russia. They do. That's what have the Ukrainians done? They've wiped out 115,000 Russian troops, 286 jets, 276 helicopters, 3,100 tanks, 2,100 artillery pieces, 6,100 armored personnel characters, 436 multiple launch missile launchers, 16 ships and cutters, 749 cruise missiles, 4 ballistic missile systems. But still they come. Still these animals come. This animal slave culture comes. There has to be unanimity in the West that we will not permit that animal slave country culture to continue, because they will simply bide their time and attack another country. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, we have little time before the end of the show. What's on your mind today, Andrew?
Hey, Professor, back to the 14th Amendment. The GOP is going to run like hell to the Supreme Court, and that doesn't bother me, because regardless of their decision, Biden can pull an Andrew Jackson and say, you have no police, you have no army, and besides, I am
right,
supporting
right.
the common good.
Right. In other words, Andrew's making the good point that if the six tarantulas on the U.S. Supreme Court say, no, we're with Kevin McCarthy, and the 14th Amendment doesn't say it, and we can read the 14th Amendment as well as they can, and I studied it in school, and that is what it says, I think exactly what Andrew Jackson did say to the Supreme Court. Good luck. You do have no enforcement power. Here's a profound question, and we're going to pick this up in future shows. Why does the Supreme Court get to say that Biden and maybe the Senate and Congress can't do something that's unconstitutional, but when they do something unconstitutional, like Clarence Thomas and Alito, everybody goes, well, there's nothing we can do, and they're not even elected. Think about that. We're coming to the end of the show, great callers as always. Matt Flynn, Direct, will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I am signing off for today.
I've been everywhere.